This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is another account of being prepared, but what we need to do is we need to be an example. And we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Be an example. Before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to open your word and to study it. Father, I pray that you just help us, Lord, just to be ready, and that we are ready and that we can be an example to those around us. Lord, I pray that someone here does not know you as Savior, that today they would accept you as Savior. Someone on the internet that does not know you, that this would be the day of their salvation. Father, I pray for us, Lord, here, that we'll be in tune to the Holy Spirit, that we'll listen to your truth, and that your truth will change us. Lord, I pray that you take away all distractions by Satan on our behalf. And Father, help us, Lord, to be who you want us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Timothy was a young preacher in Ephesus. And Paul is not with him right now. And so he writes him a letter. And in the end of 1 Timothy, towards chapter 4, he starts doing his closing here. But he's encouraging Timothy. And he says here, verse 20, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Now, the issue is that Timothy was a young man. Most people think he was under 20. But you know something? David slew Goliath when he was a young man. Young people can do amazing things. But in this culture that they were in, it was wisdom was to the aged, and young people were foolish. That might be the same today. But people were looking at Timothy's age, and he's the pastor over people much older than him. And there was mumbling. There was talking about that. And so Paul gives him an encouragement. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." See, when we come here, we need to be an example one to another. We need to be an example to a lost and dying world. And then he goes on, he says, "In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto" who? All. "Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You know, we need to follow good examples. There are plenty of bad examples out, and a good example is hard to find. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, in way of introduction, Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he's telling the whole church, he says, "Brethren," not talking one individual, he's talking to the whole church, he says, "be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for a" what? "An example." People are looking at us. Are we setting a good example? Could people understand what a Christian life is all about by looking at your life? That is what Paul was encouraging the church at Philippi to do. But the issue is that there are a lot of bad examples, and we need to avoid them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." And what Paul is talking about in this first part of this chapter, he's talking about the nation of Israel in the wilderness. And verse 5 says, he says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And here's what happened. Remember what happened when Moses was up on the mountain? They got tired of waiting, and they made an idol. And then they had a party around the idol. And God told Moses, you better get down there because they have already rejected me. And that was the first time that Moses literally broke the law. The stones that were had the Ten Commandments, he broke them. And then they had to do it all over again. See, a bad example means that sometimes we have to do it all over again until we get it right. It says here in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 10, if you're following along, it says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. That was the story of Balaam. And what happened after Balaam's incident there, where he was trying to curse, Balak wanted Balaam to curse. Balaam couldn't do it. He blessed him. But after the blessing that Balaam gave, they went out and they married the Moabites and committed fornication. And it was immorality. It was something that God told them not to do. Verse 9, it says, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Later on, they were murmuring about why God bring us out into the wilderness so we could be destroyed by famine and thirst and everything else. And God said, watch this, and put in fiery serpents in there and killed a whole bunch of them. Or like Korah, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer, where the earth swallowed them all up. See, God takes righteousness and holiness seriously. He takes it in our life seriously. We need to be a good example, and we need to avoid bad examples. In verse 11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition or our warning, upon whom the ends of the earth are come. In In Romans 16, verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So we have this word mark used twice. One, to look out for the good examples and follow them. Look out for the bad examples and avoid them. Last Wednesday night, Christ was washing the disciples' feet. And the issue was is that he took on the form of the lowest possible slave to minister to his disciples. And he says, do you know what I've done unto you? Do you understand? He says, I'm God and I'm washing your feet. You need to do the same thing. And in John 13, verse 50, he says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Folks, we need to do things for Christ to other people so that they know Christ is real in our life. We need to set a good example and not a bad example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul is writing to a very immoral church, a very carnal church. And he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But he understands that Timothy is going to have some challenges. There's challenges of his youth. But here in this passage in verses 13 through 16, basically we see three things that he says. He says, don't stop being a good example. He says, do it till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Don't stop being a good example. Don't forget about being a good example. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And then thirdly, in verse 10, he says, take heed to the doctrine. Don't give in. There are so many pressures today for us to be politically correct, for us to modify so we don't offend people. The same exhortation and admonition is given to us today. We can't give in. We have to be a good example. So now we go back up to verse 12. And in our passage this morning, there are six things that we need to be an example about. And we will go through them very quickly. But these are things that we should be examples in. And so you ask yourself today, am I an example in this? First of all, he says, be an example in word. That is literally speech or speaking. You know, what we say reveals our heart. And that is where our examples come from. We went through Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37 a couple of messages ago. It says, O generation of vipers, Christ is talking. He says, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word. You know, today, there's always somebody with a camera. And you can't get away with anything on an airplane, in a bus station, because someone's always taking a picture. We need to understand that God's always looking. He hears every word you say. I find it incredible that there are people that call themselves Christians and even are ministers that take the Lord's name in vain. We're supposed to be separate. We don't talk like the world because that means that the world's in your heart and not Christ. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, we need to be ready for Christ coming back. Are you like the wise bridesmaid? Or are you like the foolish bridesmaid? See, what we say reveals our heart. What we say reveals our level of self-control. James chapter 3, verse 2 says that in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word or his speech, the same is a not perfect in no sin, but perfect in being complete. And see, that's what Paul was talking about here to Timothy. He says, I want you to be complete. And the first area you need to look in your life to be complete is your speech. He tells the church at Ephesus, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. Neither filthy jesting, neither all those things. Folks, if you're going into the ways of the world and the words of the world, you need to stop. He says here, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And then James goes on and he says, hey, can the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings? These things ought not to be. And I'll tell you what, young people, this is where you have a challenge, especially those that go to public school. All you hear is filthy language. You're supposed to be an example. Don't say what they say. Don't be like they are. Be different. I'll just wait until I become an adult. No, you won't, because you won't do it as an adult, because you've learned. So be an example in word. Secondly, be an example in conversation. That is in conduct. We know that the word conversation also basically talks about our way of life. He says, be thou an example in speech of to what? To the believers in conduct. It is called righteous conduct. God knows everything we're doing. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, Peter writes here. Now, Peter, he had some issues, didn't he? He had issues when Jesus was washing their feet. He says, you'll never wash me. And then he says, well, not just my feet, but everything. He doesn't get it. Folks, there's a lot of people calling themselves Christians. They don't get it. They don't get it. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversation. That's what you do when people see you, and that's what you do when people don't see you. It's called character. And what we need to understand is we need to understand that we're bought with a price and we're not our own. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And our conduct in everything needs to be above reproach. He goes on earlier in the chapter. He talks about the qualifications for being a pastor or a deacon. And he says, got to be blameless. Got to be blameless. The blameless part comes out of conduct. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says that he put off the former conversation of the old man, the old way you were. You're not that way. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm looking forward, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So be an example in righteous conduct. Be an example in revealed conduct. I was teaching our Bible class, and we were talking about the proliferation of these other worldviews. And the reason is because people that know the Christian worldview are silent. We need conduct that will exhort people, that will encourage people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, having your conversation, the same word, your conduct, honest among the who? The Gentiles, the people on the outside. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In Titus chapter 2, verse 10, it says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn, dress up, the doctrine of God, our Savior, in how many things? All things. Be an example in righteous conduct. Be an example in revealed conduct, because people are looking. People are looking. Be an example in reproving conduct. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, it says, be having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know, when Pentecost was happening and Peter and all those were preaching and everything else, the men were what? Pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what do we do? And that was an inroad to give them the witness of the gospel. That's what our conduct should do. Should prick people's hearts, say, he's got something that I don't have, and I need that. That's the point. So be an example first in what? Word, speech. Be an example in conversation or in conduct. Thirdly, be an example in charity or love. See, the way we love dictates the way we live. And what the love in our heart reveals whether or not we have spiritual life in the first place. Because if you have the love of God, you're born of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another. Now what? Timothy was told to be an example to the believers. If you can't love the people inside that believe like you do, you got a problem. You got a problem. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It reveals a spiritual life that we are born again. Secondly, it reveals our belief in God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? But faith which worketh by love. Your faith in God should control your speech. Your faith in God should control your conduct. Your faith in God should control your love, and it should just be out of you. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. So it reveals spiritual life. Timothy, be an example. Church, be an example. It reveals a surrendered life. And superiority. In John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, the word in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 is agape. It's the love that Christ loved us with. It's the love that he encouraged Peter to live. And Peter didn't get it. He kept on answering with something less. No, God wants all of us. Don't be foolish. Be wise. So it reveals a surrendered life and superiority. It reveals a surrendered life and substance. In Romans chapter 13, verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's exactly what God wants us to do. So it reveals a surrendered life and superiority. It reveals a surrendered life and substance. It reveals a surrendered life, again, in sight. People can see it. In John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Love one to another. Now, if you don't use the same translation of Bible that I've got up here, King James, you're going to miss out on the next one. If you look at some other translations, they don't have this one. They don't have this in here. It basically is just omit spirit entirely. But this is the same word that's found in Romans chapter 8. For the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we know that we are the children of God. This word for spirit talks about the power and agency of God in our lives. That's a pretty important thing. And the reason it's taken out of newer translations is because they think they found better Greek transmanuscripts. Who thinks they're better? Man does. Personally, I'll take what God says. And so, he says, be an example in spirit. Can't leave it out. We need to be an example in spirit. It is enabling power. The power of God. The same word is used in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's an evangelistic power that fewer people today want to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the what? Spirit and in power. So he says, oh, Timothy, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love or charity or love, and in spirit. Because if you are an example of this in spirit, you'll be an example in faith. And really, this is not about saving faith. This is about being faithful or being committed. Being faithful or being committed. It gives us the idea of holding fast. You know, I love that old song, The Anchor Holds. The anchor holds in the storm. The anchor holds in the calm. The anchor holds when you're going through trouble. The anchor holds when things are going good. And people can see the peace of God that passeth all understanding in your heart. And they know and hold fast. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, Paul gives this letter, and he introduces this letter. He says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in what? Faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, the same word. Hold fast. Be an example in faithfulness and hold fast to who we believed. And hold fast and help others. Hold fast and help others. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, it says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is reported in stewards that a man be found faithful. This is the same word that's used here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. On faithfulness. So we need to be an example in faith and hold fast. So be an example in what? First, word. Be an example next in what? Your way of life, your conversation. Be an example next in what? Your love for Christ and love for one another. Be an example, and don't leave this one out, spirit. Understand the power and the working of God in your life, the agency of God. Be an example in faith. Lastly, I'll just punch them all in there. Be an example in purity. That's to be clean. That is striving for sinlessness. That's to be sanctified. That's to be all those things here. There are three things, or two things that we need to do. The first one is stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. You know, we go back to Wednesday night. And Christ was washing their feet. And the lesson he was given, he says, hey, when you go and you take a bath and you're walking home from the public bath, he says, you're walking in the dirt and the only thing that gets dirty is your feet. He says, that's why I'm washing your feet. He says, you're already clean. You just need your feet washed. And folks, we walk around in a dirty world. And we need to keep our feet washed. It's not going to take us our salvation away. But it may make us talk like the world. It may make us act like the world. It may make us think of love like the world does. It may make us live in the power of the world. It may get us to a point where we have more faith in the world than faith in God. We need to stay away from that. We need to stay away from sin. Don't relate to it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. That's basically about bringing people in leadership in the church. They got to be proven. Be partaker. Neither be what? Partaker of other men's sins. Proverbs chapter 1 talks about that too. Don't cast your lot with them. They're going the wrong way. Keep thyself pure. So, to stay away from sin, first of all, you need to don't relate to it. Don't say that's okay. Even a little sin is sin. Even a white lie is a lie. Then don't resign to sin. Just don't give in to it. Well, I just can't help it. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We've already said in the conversation, put off the old conversation and put on the new conversation. And then don't rebel by sin. In our introduction, we talked about how the nation of Israel rebelled in idolatry. and in tempting Christ and thinking that they're better than somebody else, Moses. In Psalm 19, verse 13, it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Folks, I encourage you today, if you know that there's something wrong with doing something, don't ever do it. Because if you say, well, no one will see me, that's a presumptuous sin. If you say that God doesn't care, that's a presumptuous sin. You basically say, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. That's what a presumptuous sin is. And we need to understand that how you get to that point is that you hang around people that sin. How you get to that point is that you put yourself in positions where it's readily available. How you get to that point is you say, okay, well, everybody else is doing it. You can't tell me what to do. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. So, be an example in purity. Stay away from sin. Secondly, stay attuned to Christ. Stay attuned to Christ. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. This morning, folks, we need to stay attuned to Christ. We need to be an example to the believers and to the rest of the world in our speech, in our conduct, in our love, in our power, in our faith, and by living a good, clean, moral life for the glory of God. Be the example. Be the right example. You could be a bad example. That's not what we're talking about. That's easy to do. Being the right example is hard. It needs following Christ. It needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. Where are you today in your example? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to make a decision for you. Lord, I pray that help us, Lord, to be examples in these things that Paul encouraged Timothy to be. Help us to be different. Help us to be separate. Help us, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us, Lord, to be wise and not foolish. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name.